Turning in God's Word to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. I'm going to read a number of verses here, commencing to read at verse 8. Exodus chapter 20, commencing to read at verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Amen. That's my ask for God's help as we come to consider His truth today. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the reading of Thy Word. We thank You, O Lord, that it is Thy truth that leads us and guides us and directs us in life. And we pray, O God, that even as we come now to the Word of the living God, as we come to these things that God has spoken for our own edification and for our spiritual well-being, that Thou wouldst give to each one of us teachable hearts. Lord, we pray that Thou wouldst enable us to shut out the world and the things of this world. And we pray, O God, Thou wouldst just, in a very real sense, so speak to us here today, that we would be very conscious that it is the Word of God that we are considering, and it is the King who is speaking. We pray, O God, Thou wouldst give us submissive hearts. So often, Lord, we can hear Thy Word. So often we can read Thy Word. And yet, O Lord, we fail to submit to its authority, and we fail to submit to its commands. But we pray, O God, that Thy Word will come with such force and power, we would feel its weight upon our souls to such a degree that we would submit to it and we would obey it. We would not just be hearers of the word, but Lord, we would be doers of Thy truth. Give us help to preach Thy word. We confess our own weakness. We confess again our need of Thee. Pour out of Your Spirit upon us this day as we come to preach. And pour out of Your Spirit upon each one of us as we listen. And may, Lord, as Your word is preached, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. God's holy law, the Ten Commandments, can be divided into two main sections or parts. In the first section, which contains the first four commandments, we have our duty to God. And then in the second section, which contains the last six commandments, we have our duty to our fellow man. This is how God revealed His holy law, by declaring firstly man's duty to God, and then secondly, declaring man's duty to his fellow man. Now, over the last number of weeks, we have been looking at this first section of the Ten Commandments and thinking about our responsibilities and our duties before God. We are to take the one true and living God to be our God. And that's what the first commandment teaches us. We are to take the one living true God to be our God. And then we are to worship Him according to how He is revealed in His Word. And this is what the second commandment teaches us, how we are to worship God. And we are to worship Him according to how He has revealed in Himself to us in His Word. And then we are to do nothing that will harm or disrespect the name or reputation of the Lord. And this is what the third commandment teaches us. We are not in any way to injure God's name or injure God's reputation. And this is what the first three commandments bring before us. They bring before us our duty towards God, or our duty in regard to God. Now today we are coming to the fourth and the final commandment that is contained in this first section of God's law, the section that deals with our duty to God. And we have the summary of the fourth commandment in verse 8 here in Exodus chapter 20. Notice again what it says. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The fourth commandment instructs and teaches us how we are to keep the Sabbath day holy. How we are to keep the Lord's day holy. Now, as we come to consider the fourth commandment, we should note from the very outset that God, in a very definite way, has underscored and highlighted the importance of this commandment. We can say God has highlighted the importance of the fourth commandment in two ways. The importance of this commandment is seen firstly in its declaration. Notice how the fourth commandment begins. Remember. Remember. God here is declaring this is something that men need to remember. This is something that we need to keep before us. And this is how God commences this commandment. The word remember means to mark or to be mindful. In other words, God, as he gives us this commandment, he begins by telling us, mark these words. Pay attention here. Be mindful of this commandment. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Use the Lord's day in the right and proper way. This is something which is widely shunned and scorned in our sinful world. People mock the thought of keeping the Lord's day holy. People mock the thought of not working or using it as a day of leisure. Yet we should be ever conscious of the exhortation God has declared as he gave to man the fourth commandment. Remember. Be mindful. Mark this. Keep my day holy. In reality, as we read down through the Ten Commandments, the opening word in the fourth commandment ought to make us stop and pay close attention. This is something God does not want us to forget. God is speaking to us here. God has given us holy law. And as he comes to the fourth commandment, he says, remember. And therefore, we need to pay even closer attention to what he says. And so God highlights the importance of the fourth commandment from its opening declaration. Remember. But then we also see the importance of the fourth commandment from its detail. You see, this is the longest of all the commandments. The fourth commandment is the one which contains the greatest amount of detail. God here is very specific. And he takes time to explain how we should keep this commandment and why we should keep this commandment. From the great detail that is given in the fourth commandment, we are again reminded of just how important a thing it is in the eyes of God that we keep the Sabbath day holy. Indeed, the detailed manner by which God has given this commandment leaves all men without excuse. Keeping the Sabbath day holy is therefore a most important and serious matter. A very important matter. This is not something just which is really not all that important. It is most important. And we cannot deny that. A quick overview of this commandment really highlights it. Really brings it before us. As God declared his holy law upon Mount Sinai, he emphasized the importance of his day, the Sabbath day. Sabbath desecration then is no small thing. But it is to break God's law. And it is to sin in the most grievous manner against the Lord. So we're coming this day to look at this most important commandment, the fourth commandment. We are to keep the Sabbath day holy. And as we come to consider the fourth commandment itself, I want us to look at it in two ways. Today I want us to think about the joy of the Sabbath. The joy of the Sabbath. And then next time, God willing, I want us to consider the duty of the Sabbath. And this is basically how we ought to consider the Sabbath day. It's joy and it's duty. This is really the way we ought to think about it in our lives. The joy of the Sabbath and then the duty of the Sabbath. Today then we're thinking about the joy of the Sabbath. The fourth commandment is a commandment that we ought to obey with great joy. The very fact that God has given to mankind one day in seven for worship and rest is something which should fill us with gladness and cause us to rejoice. This is a gift that God has given to us. This is a wonderful gift. This is a blessed thing. And therefore we ought to be filled with joy and delight as we think about the Sabbath, as we approach the Sabbath, and even as we engage in keeping the Sabbath. This is something we ought to really rejoice in and delight in. As we then think about the joy of the Sabbath, I want us to consider a number of reasons why we should obey this commandment with great joy and gladness. Why it is a joyful thing to keep the Sabbath day holy. The first thing I want us to note here is we should joyfully keep this commandment because it is a precept that is fair. That's the first thing. We should joyfully keep the Sabbath day because this commandment, the fourth commandment, is a precept that is fair. The reasonableness and the fairness of the fourth commandment is something that we should note very, very carefully. It's very often the case that people in their sin think that keeping the Lord's Day holy is a very unfair and a very unreasonable thing. And that's how they think about the Lord's Day and having to keep it holy. They think, well, this ain't fair. There's things I want to do. There's things I want to engage in, and having to keep the Lord's Day holy, well, that's restrictive. That's not fair. That's not reasonable. And this is how many think about the Lord's Day. This was something that I was confronted with a number of years ago as I was staying in a bed and breakfast while I was preaching in the Isle of Man. As I was having breakfast one morning, a man came and sat at a table next to me. And he introduced himself, and we began to talk, as you would. And he told me as we were talking that he was on a road trip. And that he was stopping in different places, traveling a bit, and then staying for a while, maybe a week, and then traveling on somewhere else. And he had moved around quite a bit. He had moved around the UK and different places across Europe. And we began to talk, and he talked on. Then he explained something. He explained that he had just come from the Isle of Lewis in Scotland, but that he was glad to have left the place, and that he would never again return to the Isle of Lewis in Scotland. He was glad to be rid of it. I could tell he was cross, and I thought, well, there's something has happened in the Isle of Lewis. So naturally enough, I inquired why he so disliked the Isle of Lewis, why he was so annoyed, and why he would never go back. To my surprise, his big complaint, the great issue that he had with Lewis was their observance of the Lord's Day. At that particular time in the Isle of Lewis, the Lord's Day was observed, and it is, to a great degree, still observed in the Isle of Lewis in a very strict manner. But as he was there on his tour, as he stayed there, he was so annoyed by this. This was his big complaint. He was not able to do the things that he wanted to do. He couldn't go to the shops, and he couldn't go to the cinema, and he told me all the things he couldn't do on the Lord's Day. And how it was just so unfair. And it was just so unreasonable. And the thing was, he was so wound up about this, he was visibly angry. He was incensed. You could tell he was just really enraged by this. This was just so unfair. It was unjust. But I couldn't do as I please on the Sabbath day in the Isle of Lewis. Ever by our brief encounter, I was brought to see how man, in the darkness and foolishness of his sin, thinks the fourth commandment is unfair. This is actually something that I've observed and noted ever since. People who speak against the Sabbath day always argue this commandment is unreasonable. And they always argue that it is unfair. This is what they think, and this is what they feel. This is unjust. And it's unfair to make me or to force upon me to keep the Lord's Day. Yet the truth is, the fourth commandment is a precept that is not only fair, it is extremely kind and loving. It is a commandment that has the welfare and the care of man in view. We actually can say the fourth commandment is fair for several reasons. We can say it is fair in its provision. The very fact that God has given to mankind a day, or one day in seven, when he can set aside the toil and labor of life and be refreshed and strengthened physically and spiritually, is another good evidence of God's compassion and care for man. God has given to man this day. This is a gift from God to man. He's given to man this day where they can set aside their toils and their labors, and they can be refreshed both physically and spiritually. This is what God has done. To keep the Sabbath day holy, to take a day of rest, it's not been lazy, it's not been slothful. No, God has given this to us out of love and kindness for our well-being. And remember, the Sabbath day did not commence at Sinai. It didn't commence when God gave the Ten Commandments. No, the Sabbath day was instituted in the Garden of Eden. God brought it into being when man still existed in a state of holiness and lived in paradise. Turn back just for a moment to Genesis chapter 2. And this is what we see here in Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Notice what it says here, Genesis 2, verse 2. Genesis 2, verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Notice here it speaks of how God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Now don't forget what God was doing at this point. He was creating a world where man could live in a happy and holy state. This is what God was doing. He was creating a world where man could live a happy and holy life. And as God creates this world for man, this perfect environment, this paradise environment, what does God do? He gives to man the Sabbath day. Now that's notable. Our first parents, they were created to live in a holy world, a perfect world, a paradise. And God gave them the Sabbath day. Therefore, we can say the fourth commandment is fair because of its provision. This is what man needs. This is good for man's well-being, physically, spiritually, mentally. God is the creator. God has made us. He knows what we have need of. And even innocent, holy and righteous man in the beginning needed the Sabbath day. And so in love, God made this provision for him. You know, it's no coincidence that in Western society, which has thrown off and cast aside much in regard to biblical truth and principles, mental illness, anxiety, stress, depression, and other debilitating problems are on the increase. We live in a world where these things just seem to be increasing more and more and more. But it's not a coincidence. Because men have forsaken and rejected the very thing that God has given to them for their welfare and benefit. Our Maker knows what we have need of. He knows we need a day of rest. He knows what is best for mankind. Therefore, according to his great loving kindness, he has given to all men a day of rest. He's given to us this day of rest because of his loving kindness towards us. By the way, we actually see God's care for the working animal in the fourth commandment. For in verse 10, it speaks about the cattle. Did you notice that? The cattle. And that is speaking about the oxen, the working animal. Of course, this was the day prior to machinery. And so the ox or the cattle would be the working animal. They would bear the burdens. They would plow and do the different things they had to do. But even the cattle were not to work. God was even caring for the animal. The animal. As he spoke the words of the fourth commandment. This commandment then is fair. Its provision by God is a provision of love. And when we despise it, it will be to our own hurt. When men reject it, despise it, is to their own injury and hurt. And so it's fair because of its provision. But we can also say about the fourth commandment, it is fair in its proportion. Think of what God actually says here in verses 9 and 10. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. In essence, what God said to the children of Israel, and subsequently to all men, in the fourth commandment is this. I'm giving you 6 days. 6 days out of seven for your own activities. You have 6 days every week for your own labor, leisure, and likes. And I'm only asking that you give to me one day out of every seven. And this is what God was saying here. You have 6 days. 6 days where you can do the things that are needful in your life. Things that you want to do. But I want one day. Just one day out of every seven. Oh, how reasonable and how fair is the fourth commandment. We have 6 days out of every seven for ourselves. And God only asks for one in seven. It is then to rob God, and to rob God in a most unthankful manner, not to keep his day holy. Not to use this day as a day for worship. The worship of our God. It is actually to behave in a most greedy and selfish manner. Because all that we have and all that we enjoy in life comes from God. The Word of God tells us every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. All that we have in life that is of value and worth comes from God. Therefore, when we misuse His day, when we fail to give to God that which is rightly due to Him, His day. Do you know what it's like? It's behaving like a spoiled brat. It's exactly what it's like. Do you understand that? But when you misuse this day, when you do not use this day for worship, when you do not use this day for the glory of God, and you go out and do things that you want to do, or you despise the house of God, it is the most greedy, selfish thing. It is to rob God. It is to steal of God that which is His. He's given you 6 days to do with you the other things. Why would you want to steal this day off Him? It's His. This is exactly what the fourth commandment says. So this is fair because of its proportion. You know, God rightly could say, listen, I want 6 days every week. I want 6 days. That would be fair as well. Because what do we have that doesn't come from God? The very air that we breathe comes from God. He could rightly have demanded 6 days and give us one, but He didn't. He didn't. He gave us 6 days for ourselves and one day for His worship. We should with joy then keep the Sabbath day. We should with joy keep it holy, because this precept is fair. Oh, how fair and reasonable it is. It's fair in its provision because it's for our own good. And it's fair in its proportion because there's only one out of every 7. Therefore, let us not treat God unfairly and misuse His holy day. Abuse this day that He has given for His worship and for our good. And so we should keep this commandment with joy and gladness because it is a precept that is fair. But then notice with me, secondly today, we should keep this commandment with joy because it is a precept that is fruitful. It's a precept that is fruitful. See the words of verse 11 here. In Exodus 20. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the 7th day. Notice these words. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. See, at the end of this verse it says, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. What we learn here is God not only appointed the Sabbath day, God has not only established this day, but He's also blessed this day. That's so important to understand. God has blessed the Sabbath day. And so the Lord's day is not only a day for the worship of our God, and it is, but when we use this day aright, it is a day of blessing to us. Oh, we need to grasp that. This is where so many people fail. In their understanding. This is a day of blessing. A day of blessing to us. The Puritan Thomas Watson said of the Lord's Day, it is not only a day wherein we give God worship, but a day wherein He gives us grace. A day wherein He gives us grace. This is a day for our blessing. Out of all the days of the week, this is the day we should delight in. Because this is the day in which we can know the blessing of God in its greatest measure. Therefore, when we remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, we will know spiritual fruitfulness. When we keep this day holy, when we observe this commandment, we will know rich blessing in our lives. Indeed, this is how we ought to look upon the Sabbath day. This is how we ought to approach it and prepare for this day. Expecting to know God's blessing. As this day comes around each week, we should pray on the Saturday. Lord, it's your day tomorrow. I want you to bless me. I'm expecting you to bless me. We should pray, Lord, bless me on this thy day. As I seek thee and as I serve thee on this, your holy day, may I know your blessing in great measure. This is how we ought to approach the Sabbath. It's not just a day where we cease to do other things. It's not just a day of rest in the physical sense. But oh, it should be a day where we are looking forward to, oh, we're going to God's house. We're going to seek a blessing from God. We're going to know God's blessing in our lives. See, this is the very purpose and use of this day. This is why we ought to approach it with joy. We're coming into God's banqueting house. We're coming to enjoy the riches of our Heavenly Father. We're coming into the throne room of heaven. We're coming into God's tabernacles. What delight and joy we ought to run to this. This is what it's for. This is what it's for. And therefore, we ought to approach the Sabbath day with great expectation and joy and delight. Because it is a day of fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. As we examine God's word, we learn that the proper use of the Sabbath day will bring God's blessing into our lives in a number of ways. The proper use of God's day will bring God's blessing into our lives in a number of ways. We learn in God's word, God favors those who keep the Sabbath day. He favors those. We read earlier in Jeremiah 17, but in that passage it speaks of how the people of Judah and Jerusalem misused and desecrated the Sabbath day. Turn back to Jeremiah 17 just for a moment there. Jeremiah 17, and read a couple of verses here. Notice what it says in verses 24 and 25. Jeremiah 17, verse 24. And it shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of the city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the seventh day, to do no work therein. So the Lord is saying, if you listen to me, if you keep the Sabbath day, what's going to happen? Verse 25. Then shall there enter into the gates of this city kings and princes sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and in horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And this city shall remain forever. What is God saying to these people? You keep the Sabbath day and I'm going to favor you. I'm going to bless you. That's what's going to happen. Keep the Sabbath day. Kings and princes will not be in short supply in Judah. And you'll increase and you'll prosper. But then notice the words in verse 27. But if ye will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day, and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. See what's going to happen here now? God's warning them. You desecrate my day. You forsake the Sabbath day. Then I'll kindle a fire in your gates. Meaning, I will destroy you. I will bring you down. God was clearly saying to the people of Judah, if you keep my Sabbath, then I will favor you. Then I will smile upon you. You'll know my blessing in your lives. I think this is something we need to observe very closely as God's people today. Do we want to know God's favor and blessing in our lives? Do we want to know God's favor and blessing in our families? Do we want to know God's favor and blessing in God's work in this house? Are we really serious about these things? Is this what we genuinely want to know? Then let us sanctify the Sabbath day. Here's a good place to start. Here's a promise from heaven where God says, if you keep it, I'll bless you, I'll favor you. Keeping the Sabbath day. And next time we're going to look at what it is to keep the Sabbath day, I feel almost like, let's go into this now, but I'm resisting. But let me say this, keeping the Sabbath day is being in God's house. If you forsake the assembling together of the saints, you're a Sabbath breaker. That's what you are. What does God say here? He'll kindle a fire in your gate. This is not me. This is not my opinion. This is the word of the Lord. The word of God. God favors those who keep the Sabbath day. But you also see in Scripture, God flourishes those that keep the Sabbath day. Turn back with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 92. Psalm 92. It's a wonderful psalm, Psalm 92. But notice what it says here in verses 12 to 14 in this psalm. Psalm 92, verse 12, says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree." And notice the use of the word flourish here in these verses. "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing." Here it speaks about the Christian flourishing. Flourishing, being fat, speaking about, but prospering, growing, developing. But notice the title in this psalm. The title, of course, is inspired. It's all the titles in the psalms are. Notice what it says in the title. A psalm or song for the Sabbath day. This is a psalm for the Sabbath day. With the Sabbath day in view. Therefore, the thought in verses 12 and 13 is, those that be planted in the house of the Lord on the Sabbath day. And that's the point here. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord on the Sabbath day, it is they who shall flourish. It is they who will be like the palm tree and the cedar of Lebanon. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. God makes fat. He flourishes and prospers those who keep his holy day. This is very clearly what is implied in this psalm. Even in old age, we will be fruitful spiritually. And that's what it tells us in verse 14. We are found with the saints of God sanctifying the Sabbath day in the house of the Lord. You should never forget that Sabbath desecration and spiritual deprivation are connected. These two things are so closely connected. Sabbath desecration and spiritual deprivation. If we just think about the history of our nation over recent days, as Sabbath desecration has grown and increased, so too has spiritual deprivation. We see that it's on a national level. Let me say it also happens on a personal level. It happens on a personal level. Where there is a keeping holy of the Lord's day. Using of the Sabbath day in the most joyful and delightful thing. And remember, we were speaking about how we should come to God's house. We should come to the Sabbath day with joy and gladness. The believer that does so will be, they will be flourishing. They will be prospering. They will be growing and developing. But if you approach the Lord's day with a negative attitude, a chore-like manner, you will not be flourishing. Spiritually, you will be suffering deprivation. We of God's people use the Sabbath day in the way God intended it to be used. Then spiritually, we will flourish. Even like the palm and cedar trees. And think of the palm and cedar trees that are used in this psalm. They were trees that were stable. They were trees that were strong. They were trees that were reaching up towards the heavens. And what a picture that is. You use the Sabbath day as it ought to be used. You will be a strong, stable Christian reaching up to new spiritual heights. That's the picture that is here in view in Psalm 92. Oh, those who keep the fourth commandment, those who keep the Lord's day holy, God will favor them. God will flourish them. We can also say as we examine God's word, God fills those who keep the Sabbath day. He fills them. We have a tremendous example of this in John chapter 20. Turn with me to the New Testament for a moment, John's Gospel chapter 20. John 20. And we'll read a couple of verses here, verse 19. John 20, verse 19. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Notice in verse 19, it was the Christian Sabbath. And this is the point I want us to note here. It says the first day of the week, it was the Christian Sabbath. As God's people were gathered together on the Sabbath day, it was then that Christ came to them. And it was then that Christ breathed upon them. And they received the Holy Ghost. Now this was a wonderful experience for the disciples of the Lord Jesus. Verse 20 tells us they were glad, and we can imagine that. Oh, how they were filled with gladness and joy. Yet what we should not overlook is the fact the Holy Spirit tells us this happened on the Christian Sabbath. Those words in verse 19, being the first day of the week. You know, you could take these words out of this verse and the verse would still read with sense. But God by the Spirit has put them in there for a reason. They are in there so that we will learn how important the Sabbath day is. It's the day where Christ meets with his people in a very special way. Where his people can be filled by his Spirit. As the disciples were gathered on the Sabbath day, it was then Christ met with them. And it was then that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. On the Sabbath day, as they were gathered into the house of God, and we could say here this was the house of God because it was the assembly of the saints. They were come together. This was the New Testament church meeting. You should also note here in this passage that Thomas was missing. He was missing. He was not there. And what a loss that was to him. See what it says in verses 24 and 25. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Because Thomas was absent, he did not receive the Holy Ghost at this time. And so instead of gladness, what did he experience? Doubt. Doubt and unbelief. This is what happens when you don't use the Sabbath day as we ought. Notice this very carefully here, you see. Because again, God has put this in Scripture to teach us how important it is that we rightly use the Lord's Day. If we don't use the Lord's Day as we ought, we will miss encounters with Christ. We will miss times of spiritual infilling, being filled with the Spirit of God. This is what will happen. And this is why God, as he gave the commandment, said, remember! Because this is so important. The Christian, this is so vital to your spiritual growth. You need to be filled with the Spirit. You need to have encounters with Christ. But if you misuse the Lord's Day, you will miss out. You will end up becoming a doubter, even like Thomas. The precept of the fourth commandment is a fruitful one. Oh, it's a fruitful one. When we keep the Lord's Day, then what rich and sweet blessings we will experience. We will know the favor of God. We will be flourishing as God's people, and we will be filled with the Spirit of God. Therefore, with joy and delight, let us remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. One last thing I want to notice with you quickly here. We should joyfully obey this command because it's a precept that is fair, because it's a precept that is fruitful, but also we should obey this command joyfully because it is a precept that strengthens faith. It's a precept that strengthens faith. This is something we need to understand about the fourth commandment. It is a commandment that strengthens our faith in God. And the reason why this is the case is because the Sabbath day is the day of the week that especially reminds us of God's great and gracious works. And that's what the fourth commandment reminds us of. God's gracious and gracious works. Great and gracious works. Although this is a day of rest, although the Sabbath day is a day of rest for us, it is the day of the week that especially appoints to the marvelous and merciful works of God. And that's what it does. And we think of those words in verse 11 here in the fourth commandment. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is. They're speaking about God's work. Speaking about God's work. This is what the Sabbath day reminds us of. God's work. From the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ, the Sabbath day was the seventh day of the week. It was the seventh day. It was on the seventh day because, as we read earlier in Genesis 2, after creation, God rested the seventh day. Therefore, from the creation to the resurrection of Christ, the Sabbath day reminded God's people of God's creative work. It testified to them, God is the creator of all things. And that's why they were resting, because God's work finished on the sixth day and he rested the seventh day. Therefore, in the Old Testament, the Sabbath day reminded God's people that God's creative work was finished. Their God was the creator, the mighty one, the all-powerful one. And he created this world and that work had finished. But then as Christ arose from the dead on this first day of the week, the Sabbath was changed from the seventh day to the first day. Acts 20:7 tells us how the apostles assembled for worship on the first day of the week. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. And so the Sabbath day was changed to the first day of the week. The day Christ rose from the dead. Why? Because now the Sabbath day reminds God's people of God's great saving work. It is now the weekly reminder that God has finished the work of salvation. This is what the Sabbath day reminds us of. In the Old Testament, it told the Old Testament saints that God's creative work was finished. He made all things out of nothing in 6 days. And he accomplished all this. He's the powerful God. But now in New Testament times, the Sabbath day reminds us God's saving work is finished. He's rose from the dead. He's our victorious Savior and God. Thus the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day, is the weekly reminder to us all of the magnificence and splendor of God's mighty works. That's what it reminds us of. The magnificence and splendor of God's mighty works. This is why we ought to rejoice in this day. Because of what it testifies of. Of God's power to create man, but also of God's power to recreate man. The very existence of the Lord's Day should strengthen our faith in the Lord of the Sabbath. That's what it should do. Because it is this reminder to us. Every Sabbath that we come around to reminds us that Christ has broken the power of sin and triumphed over the grave. This is why the Sabbath day is the first day of the week now. And you know, that's a cause for great rejoicing. Why, that is the cause for the greatest rejoicing. The Sabbath day reminds us that our Savior is the one who has not only created us, but He's redeemed us. He's triumphed over the grave. And we remember this day and keep it holy. We remember what a mighty God, what a mighty Savior we have. Therefore, it strengthens our faith. Strengthens our faith. Are you rejoicing in the Lord of the Sabbath? Just as I close today, could I ask you that question? This day, the Sabbath day reminds us Christ has broken the power of death in the grave, rested from his work, the work of saving his people in the Sabbath day. Are you rejoicing in that? Are you resting in him? Is he your Savior? Is your faith in him? Because in the Sabbath day he rose triumphant over the grave. What does the Sabbath day mean for you? Is it just the beginning of another week? Is it just the day that you go to church because that's the traditional thing to do? Or is it a cause for rejoicing? Because this day reminds you of your Lord and your Savior and your Redeemer. I trust that for each one here today in this house, that this day is the most precious day, the Sabbath day is the most wonderful and delightful day, because it does remind us of Christ, our blessed Savior. May it be those that keep the Lord's Day holy. May it be those that joyfully remember the Sabbath day as it ought to be remembered. I trust God will bless His truth to our hearts for His own name's sake. Amen. Amen.